Okay, welcome back to the Rambam Yomi. We are now in the sixth chapter in Hilchos Deos, the Halachos of Deos. The Rambam finished off in the last perek, basically telling us how one who is supposed to live a life, if they are a wise person, Talmid Chacham, representing kind of the lifestyle of Torah, what they're supposed to wear, what they're supposed to act, what they're supposed to walk, talk, how they're supposed to eat and drink, how they're supposed to deal with money, etc., etc. And now the Rambam is going to talk to kind of general advice, essentially, and go through a number of the mitzvahs that he listed at the very beginning about mitzvahs that are going to be listed in his Pesukim. We haven't gone through too many of them, so we are now going to focus on a couple of them in this perek alone. And the advice now is going to essentially start off with how one should basically deal with their neighbor. They should deal with their friends. They should deal with those who are surrounded by them or who they should surround themselves by. Let's see in the beginning. The very beginning, the first two halachos are going to focus on how one should surround themselves with Talmidei Chachamim, that they should be in the presence of Talmidei Chachamim. And the Rambam directly writes something beautiful about peer pressure and how peer pressure is real. And how peer pressure is something that the Rambam is going to recognize right away and advise how we should live our lives, understanding that that is a real thing. Derech Briyaso Shel Adam, Vios Nimshach V'Diosav Masav Achareya V'Haverov, says the Rambam, you know what's going to happen when you're living next to people and you're around other people? You know what? You're going to start acting like them and you're going to start being impacted by them. Remember, we talked about earlier that there was a combination between nature and nurture and how people act in this world and how their midos are set up. But there's definitely, even if there is a lot of nature, there's definitely a bunch of nurture there. And that it could be influenced by those around you, by family, by friends, by neighbors, by communities, et cetera, et cetera. That can very, very much impact how one lives in this world and how one is successful or unsuccessful in following Derech Hashem, which is really ultimately what we're trying to accomplish here. So that's going to happen. It's going to be based on those around you. That's why you have to be around tzaddikim, righteous people. And you have to learn from what they're doing, sit by them and all the time and learn from what they're doing. That's why it's very important to surround ourselves with the good people. And get away from those evil people, the rishayim, who walk in darkness, because they shall yilmad ma'aseim, so you shouldn't learn from what they're doing. Right? Says Igros Moshe, by the way, points out that really should apply even if they're not Russia gomer or a tzaddik gomer. If there's somebody out there that you can learn from to do good things from, then you should go and learn from that person and be around that person to learn how to do that. And if there's a person that you're afraid from, you know, you're going to learn the wrong things from, you're going to have negative peer pressure, negative impact on you, then you should avoid them. Even if they're not Rishayim, they can be great people, but if they're doing the wrong thing, you want to get away from them. Don't be surrounded by them in those actions. So that's the Igros Moshe's, you know, slight adjustment of this. Says Shlomo HaMelech, those who walk with the wise will become wise, and those who associate with the fools will suffer. And he also says, the Omer Ashriya Ish, and he says, right, David Melech says, happy is the person, right? The rest of that pasuk, happy is the person who does not walk in the ways. Right? He doesn't walk in the ways of and the advice of the evildoers. Again, we focus on being around people who are tzaddikim. Let's say you're living in a place where basically the people that live there are like stone, people that are terrible people there. They don't go in the right way. You've got to move. Call the movers to get out of there. Let's say all the people, places you know of are all that you hear of and you know of. They're all bad. Like today. That's, by the way, very, very remarkable. The Rambam is talking about his time. So one would have to assess how, you know, in the places that we live and the people that we surround ourselves with. But the Rambam is saying, at his time, it was very hard to find a place that one would know about. Again, remember, they didn't have like knowledge of the whole world. They only knew about what they knew about. So no phones, no internet, et cetera, et cetera. So you know, if you're stuck in a situation where you're living in a place where you're not so sure it's so great or so not so great, but everyone around you basically, and that you know of, it doesn't act so well. We just read that in Echa, that you should sit, you know, basically alone. It's Bodus, comes from the same Lashon, coming here, you should sit alone, do his Bodus kind of intervention. But really, if you can't move, let's say you can't move for one reason or another. Let's say you can't move because there are soldiers, there's dangerous out there, or because you're sick. So in those situations, sit in seclusion. Yeshe badad v'yidom. Right? Stay. Don't surround with other people. Stay away from those people. Vim hayurai mechatayim. Let's say there's such terrible people. And you know what? She'im anichim oso leishev v'dina. They don't let you to stay in their place. Ela im kenis arid v'machen. V'no im v'niyasam hara. Right? Yeshe the maros I'm sorry, guess what? If you're living in a place where not only is it so bad, but again, like Sodom and Gomorrah, that you're living there and they can't handle it, you're going to stay separate from them. So they're going to make you be part of their evil doings and be part of, you know, their lifestyle. So in that situation, even if you have no better place to move, you got to get out of there and go to the caves, go to the forests, go to the deserts, places that no one else is living, and stay there. Better to live there. Says the Rambam, don't stay around there. It's not worthwhile. The Medrash points out that those who stay around Tzaddikim, it's as if they went into a place with beautiful, you know, smells, for example, beautiful aromas, and they walk in there and then they come out and they smell like that. You can walk into a kitchen and you're making, you know, wonderful food, or you go into a perfume store. So that's what the Medrash actually describes, a perfume store. You walk out, you smell like that perfume. But you know what? It says the Medrash, the opposite also exists. If you're surrounded by Rishayim, so it's like you're in a trash dump, and you walk around and it smells terrible. You walk home and you yourself smell like that. So that's, it rubs off on one person, whether they recognize it or they don't. It may take a while. May take them to actually exit, for them to realize you don't usually smell that on yourself until afterwards when you're in a place where it doesn't smell. Okay, halacha beis. So okay, we're starting off with, it's important to surround yourself with tzaddikim. Now, not only is it important to do that, and just the distinction between the two halachos, most people point out that the first halacha is about midos. You're learning good midos, and this is something that naturally one would want to do. But there's also a mitzvah. Mitzvah is asei lidavek v'chachamim v'tamidehem. It's a mitzvah. It's a commandment that you have to be surrounded by chachamim and talmidim, kedei lilmod maaseihem ke'inyan shnemar uvot tidbak. So the Torah tells us that you have to cleave to him, namely the Rabbonu Shel Olam. And says Chazal, says the Rambam is quoting, v'chiyav shel adam leidavek b'shechina. Is it possible that a person would be able to actually cleave to the Shechina? And you know, the Gemara asks the same question when it comes to to walk in God's ways. The Chazal tell us, what do you mean, you're going to walk in God's ways, you're going to get burnt, right? The Rebbeinu Shlom is, you get too close to fire, you get burnt, right? So the Rebbeinu Shlom is compared to fire. So what do you mean to walk in God's ways? You can get too close and get burned. That's where the Gemara tells us, oh, no. You either have to learn the midos of Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, right? Mahu racham, avatar racham, or you learn from the actions of the Rebbeinu Shlom, just as he, you know, does Bikur Cholim, so do we do Bikur Cholim, so do we do Nichum Avelim, so do we do Nichum Avelim. We discussed this earlier in the earlier halachos. But the Rambam is now saying, but it's impossible. I have to be the dovik to the Shechina. I can't be clinging to the Shechina. I'm a mortal human being. The Rebbeinu Shlom is immortal. We talked about how the Rebbeinu Shlom has no form, has no body. What do you mean? I can't cling to something that isn't in front of me that I feel like I could cling to. There's no physical clinging that's going to take place. So what do I do? Oh, no. Says Chazal, how do I understand this mitzvah? I should get close to and cling to Chachamim and their Talmidim. Why? Because ultimately, Chachamim and Talmidim, their Talmidim are connecting to their Rebbeinu Shel Olam through their Ma'asim Tovim, through their mitzvahs, through their actions. by being around them, you too will get closer to the Rebbeinu Shlom. The figure third Adam they start to Yisa Bas Tam Chacha Yisa Biyasi Bito the Tam Chacha the Echol Nishos and Tamicha Kamin with Asos Pragmatia the Tam Chacha the Saber Alachem Mechol Mine Chibor Shnei Marla Davka Bo says the Rambam. You know what you got to do. If you have, it's best to marry your daughter to a Talmud Chacham, and it's best to marry a Talmud Chacham, marry a daughter of a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham should marry, right? They should get married to each other. And you know what? It's good to be amongst the Chachamim. When you're eating and when you're doing business with them, you should constantly be by them. And that's exactly what the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos tell us. The Chachamim tell us themselves that what should you do? How should you accomplish the davka bo to cling to them? You should sit in their, sit by their feet, essentially, sit in the dust of their feet, right? Sit there and really drink in their words thirstily. Again, the experience of being around them is really to get the understanding of what's going on, how one should live their lives. Again, many point out that the first halakha is focusing on midos, and the second one is mitzvos. One way or another, you're learning a lifestyle from these chachamim, and therefore one is obligated, even it's a mitzvah, to spend time with Tamei Chachamim and to get close to Tamei Chachamim. That's an important mitzvah to do. Okay, halakha gimel. Now we're going to focus on the mitzvahs of loving of every Jew. Again, these are about mitzvahs of how we interact with other Jews. So the first one is make sure to interact with to Tamei Chachamim, to tzaddikim, because that's the best way to interact with other Jews is a way that's going to influence me in l'tov, and rather than and not to really to avoid being around other Jews that are going to influence me to l'ra. But on top of that, it says the Rambam mitzvah kol adam ve'hobes kol echa ve'echa miyisrael kigufo shnemar v'hatarech kamocha. We have to love every other Jew like ourselves. And it says v'hatarech kamocha. Plus, it's well known, and that's a mitzvah. Mitzvah's asay. It's a mitzvah to do this. Says the Rambam, you have to praise other people, and you have to be just as careful with someone else's money as you are with your own money. And you should also just be as careful with someone else's kavod as you are with your own kavod. Wow. If you get honor for yourself by pushing down other people, and this is an important rule of life, in order to get honor for yourself, you have to push other people down. There is no chilek for that person in Olam Haba. Wow. Okay, halacha dala, havas ager. Not only to every Jew, but there's a specific category here as well. And there's two components of this mitzvah of loving a convert. Avas ager shabbat v'nichnas takas kanfei hashchina. By the way, what a beautiful lashon, a ger that has come under, what a beautiful lashon, come under the nestle, right, to nestle under the wings of the shchina. V'nichnas takas kanfei hashchina. Shtei mitzvos asay. There are two different mitzvos to love a ger, to love a convert like this who has come under the wings of the Shechina. Achas etnei shehu b'chal reyim. The achas etnei shehu ger. Right? So one is simply, as we just said in Halacha Gimel, they are now Jews. And if they're Jews, we have a mitzvah to love every Jew. So they're reyim already. What else? They're also separately a ger. They're also separately a convert. Says the Torah, etnei shehu ger, v'atorah amra, v'haftem es a ger. You have to love the ger. That's it. The pasuk directly tells us, right? It's not complicated. Tziva al avas ager, kimoshe tziva al avas atmo. We have to care for the ger like we care about ourselves. Shneimar v'hafta es Hashem elokecha. Hakadosh Baruch Hu atmo ohev gerim. Shneimar ohev ger. The Rebbeinu Shlom himself loves gerim, so too we love gerim. And then this is part of the halacha b'drachah that we pointed out before. The Rebbeinu Shlom has certain actions that he does, so too we have to learn from those actions. Okay, and on to halacha hey, klasone echa miyisrael. So we were talking about loving a Jew and loving a ger, loving a convert. But now halacha hey, what happens if you hate another Jew? Klasone echa miyisrael belibo in their heart over below to say shadeh ma loz dis naas achicha b'levav vecha. The Torah tells us you can't hate your fellow Jew, achicha, reyecha, achicha. Oh, these are all terms referring to fellow Jews, a brother. We are all brothers and sisters. You can't hate another Jew in your heart. Important to point out, specifically in your heart, it's usur. Now, it's also in your heart, meaning it's got to be in your heart. where you're hating this Jew, and not in other ways. How do I know that? But Lokin it's not a ma'isa. The Torah only tells us you can't hate a person if it's a hatred in the heart. We're going to talk about what does that mean, a hatred in the heart? Meaning, essentially, it's a hatred that stays and retains itself only in the heart. It doesn't make it out. It might not be permitted to beat someone else, or hurt someone else. Again, we're talking about a different time. Hopefully that's not the way someone would react today. Or to insult someone else. Those are not permitted. You're not permitted to do that. But if you do that, it's not over the iser of lo sisna. Why? Because it's not in your heart at that point. You're doing something. You're doing an action that would be a form of expressing that hatred. In other words, you can't harbor it in your heart. That is very dangerous. It has to, if it comes out, then it's, and the Rambam is going to tell us how one should allow it out, and one is kind of obligated to allow it out, to not lead to this. But the sinah shebalev is the iser. Having hatred in the heart is the problem. Halacha vav, what should I do? Kishyechta ish li ish. Lo yistemenu vi ishtok. Don't, or kamosh neymar bereshayim, v'lo di berav shalom es amnon, me'uma ne'meira v'ad tov, kisaneam shalom es amnon. Don't, if someone wrongs you, don't be silent and hate them internally. As we see, Avshalom didn't even speak to Amnon, not for good, not for bad. Now, many point out, Avshalom had a reason to hate Amnon. But okay, the answer basically is, well, because he hated him in his heart, it led to pretty bad results for both of them. So Avshalom is an interesting example because ultimately it's not going to end well. When we talk about this bottling up emotions, bottling up, in this case, hatred, it'd be dangerous. At some point, it's going to come out in a way that you never anticipated or in a way that you didn't want to, or to someone else who you didn't want it to come out to, right? An innocent bystander. And so that hatred needs to have a functional way of allowing those feelings and that experience to be shared and to be thought out and to be spoken out, rather than to be harbored in the heart. That is usur. So what should you do? If not, just harbor it and be quiet internally. And a mitzvah, love lo dio. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah. And halacha says this is not like, this is not a musar sefer. This is a halacha sefer. Mitzvah, love lo dio. You got to tell the person. V'lomerlo. Lama sita li kach v'kach. V'lama chatasa li bedavar ploni. Why did you sin against me? Why did you do this to me? You gotta say it. Someone hurt you. Someone harmed you in one way or another. Approach them, confront them, and that's a mitzvah. Remember, we're gonna get more into that in a second. But you gotta rebuke the person. You have to admonish the person. V'imchazer, you know what is important here? V'imchazer, v'bikesh mena limcholo tzarich limchol. Let's say a person hears this and says, "Oh my gosh, I am so sorry. I didn't realize it hurt you so much. I apologize." You have to forgive that person if you're going to admonish the person, you're not hating inside. If the person asks forgiveness, you need to forgive them. Says the Rambam, you shouldn't forgive him, be cruel in the process of forgiving the other person. You should be kind and thoughtful and caring in the process of forgiving. And keep in mind, what is this talking about when Avram says, and Avram prayed to Hashem? This is in the case in Bereishis, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes Avimelech, who is the king of the Plishtim, who took Sarah. Remember, this is after the Mitzrayim situation. Now, again, the same thing happens with Avimelech. And then he returns her to Avram because he recognizes what he did wrong. And Avram prayed for Avimelech to get recovered, right? He prays down, and this is where he says he prays for them to get recovery. Even though Avram had been wrong, he was willing not only to forgive Avimelech, but to daven for it on his behalf as well. And this is important when it comes to relationships. The most important thing is to be able to share and to communicate. The worst type of experience in a relationship is when someone no longer has interest in talking to the other person, just totally lost interest. That's a sign of no longer having a relationship. Even if one is angry with the other person, they talk about this with tefillah as well. Even if one is upset with the situation in the world and is upset with God, so to speak, with that situation, it is better to approach the Bona Shalom with that feeling than to say, I'm just not interested at all. Because that's a sign of not having a relationship at all. That is a sign of totally abstaining from that relationship, which would be a problem. Says the Rambam, someone messed up with, you know, and harmed you, and you have horrible feelings, you have difficult feelings and sorry towards that person, don't just harbor it in, approach them. And in a nice way, we're going to see in a little bit, approach them in a nice way and say, listen, you messed up. Did you know that really hurt me? And if you're willing to share your feelings, they're most likely going to be able to understand that that's real and respond in a real way as well. And then if they ask for your forgiveness, it's incumbent upon you to forgive them as well. Both of those obligations exist, and it's an opportunity really to kind of put these difficult things behind us. How often do we have difficult moments with a friend or a family member, and we just like, we'll wipe it under the rug. But the next time something else happens in the family or something else happens between those two individuals, that like totally jumps up again and like goes 1,000 miles beyond where it should have gone had that experience happened on its own. Why? Because the psychologist pointed that out as well. It's not like that initial feeling has gone away. No, it's just you're tucking it away for now. You're bottling it up. But you know what's going to happen the next time? Even the slight offense would turn into a major offense because it's all built up as one big historical experience for this individual to feel. That's what the Rambam tells us. You can't hold it inside. Once we're talking about admonishing someone else, we're talking about all the different mitzvahs about dealing with other people. So initially, we'll be talking about surrounding ourselves with good people and learning their ways as opposed to the ways of wicked people. Then we talk about loving other Jews as well as loving specifically Gerim converts. And we talk about how we're not going to hate other Jews, and if we have feelings of hate in our heart, we should let them out. And once we're talking now about basically giving admonishment to somebody who wronged you, so now we have the mitzvah of what happens if a person around you does sin? Oh, shahalach b'derech lo tova, or walks, is going the wrong way, meaning they're about to go and do not good things. They're about to go sin. Again, we talk about so many different ways of walking in the right path, and all the halachos in this parak. So if you see someone going in the wrong direction, what are you going to say to them? Mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. Lach zero the mutov lo dio shehu chote al atzbo v'masav. Says the Rambam, you know what you got to do if you see someone that's about to go and sin or is sinning already? You have to go tell them you're damaging yourself. You're damaging yourself by going to do this sin. You're doing the wrong thing. And again, not in a way that's going to, again, we pointed out, there are sometimes to talk to someone, sometimes not to talk to someone. Remember, the Rambam talks about the person who has a mesa, muta b'fanav. Someone just lost a family member, and they haven't buried that person. Now's not the time to go and give them nechama. It is still a mitzvah to give them nechama. It's a mitzvah to go and visit them, but it's not at the time in which, there's a time and place for everything. That was not a time to talk. So, also might require the right timing and the right understanding of when to say this to the right person, but it also requires the right placement. The Rambam then points out that if you're going to give tzedakah to a person, whether it's about you and them, or whether it's about you, that person and their bonus shalom, you got to do it privately. Do it privately. You know how else you should do it? Tell them in a nice way, in a soft way, in a way that, and recognize to them, and tell them literally, these are the words, now I'm not telling this to you for any other reason, other for your benefit. I only want what's best for you. And I want you to get the Olam Haba, and if you're doing what you're doing, you're going to damage your capacity to be able to do something. And if they accept what you say, great. If they don't accept what you have to say, do it a second time, a third time. And again, softly, not yelling at a person. It's so important when it comes to chinuch in the same exact way. You don't yell at the student who's doing the wrong thing. You teach them kindly and softly and explain to them one time and a second time, etc., that this is not the way. And all you're doing is looking out for their benefit.
Ve'chein tamid chayev adam lo
And there's a general rule that you have to constantly give tzedakah to a person until they basically hit you back and say, I'm not listening to you, I had enough of you. At that point, you got to stop. And again, remember, this tzedakah is an obligation on the person who's witnessing. Since you're witnessing this and you could stop the person and you decide not to, if you decide not to give the person the tochacha, it's as if you do the sin yourself. Now, it's important to keep in mind, and many current posts would say this, that if you're not capable, and many people today are not capable, as many gedolim put that, of doing tochacha correctly, there's an art to doing this admonishment in a way that someone will be able to actually hear what you have to say. Then you should say it. If you can't do it in the right way, you can't do it in the correct way, then you should refrain from saying it, because you actually may make things entirely worse. So that's important to keep in mind here, and you should always do it correctly. And if you have to ask a shayla to understand, then you should do that. Oh, what else shouldn't you do? Again, we just said how you should do it. How shouldn't you do it? Says the Rambam, you know what you shouldn't do? You shouldn't embarrass the person. You shouldn't do it in public. You shouldn't, right? You should not embarrass the person, and don't bring upon yourself. What do you mean? If you give them to their faith, you're doing it in such a way that they're going to get so embarrassed. So then you're actually getting a chait in the process of trying to do a mitzvah, in the process of trying to help this other person, you yourself can get a chait. Mikasha also ba'adam, v'hachlam es Yisrael, v'chol shekein beravim. You can't embarrass another Jew, and especially not in public. Again, so now there's a separate mitzvah altogether. It's a mitzvah specifically tied together with, with the mitzvah of giving admonishment to somebody. But also, it's a separate mitzvah. Again, how should you deal with other people? Don't embarrass them. It's important. Says the Rambam, even though you're not going to get Malkus for this, as we pointed out in a couple of times already now, Malkus, giving lashes, is only when you're doing a specific action. Causing someone to be embarrassed doesn't necessarily utilize an action, so you're not going to get Malkus in that situation. Nevertheless, it's an avon gadol hu. The punishment should not give you the impression that it's not a big deal. It is a very, very big deal. This is the second time that the Rambam tells us you're not going to have a section in Olam Haba. The same way, if you get honor by pushing someone else down, that the Rambam pointed out in Halacha Gimel, and now in Halacha Ches, Rambam is saying, you know what else you won't get Olam Haba by? If you cause someone to get embarrassed, you're not going to have any Olam Haba. You have to be careful not to embarrass anyone in Rabbim in public. And don't call him a nickname or another name that's going to embarrass the person. And don't say something in front of the person that's going to cause him to get embarrassed. That's what we're talking about when it comes to a person between people to people. But when it comes to B'divrei Shamayim, when it comes to things that have to do with God, so we're going back to what we initially started with, that you should say the admonishment quietly, in private. And when it's ben adam lechaveru, definitely maintain that privacy. Don't embarrass the person. But if it's dealing with ben adam lemakom, the person is sinning between him and God, so even there, it's, again, it's unclear how much of this should be applied in today's day and age when we can't do this correctly. We don't know how to do it entirely correctly, but when it comes to ben adam lemakom, a person sinning between him and the Ribono Shel Olam, so in that case, says the Rambam, if they're not listening to you when it's done quietly in private, you should bring them to embarrass the person in public. And you basically publicize the chet of this person. You basically should give them every reason to want you to scorn them, embarrass them, curse them, until they actually do tshuva, which is the ways of the Nevi'im. Okay, halacha tes and halacha yud. Here we go. Halacha tes. Mishichata alav chaveiro v'loras la'achicha. Let's say someone did something wrong to you, but you don't want to give them a chacha. So we talked about before, if someone did something wrong to you, you shouldn't harbor any negative feelings inside. So how can you do it without having the need to confront the other person? Let's say the person, you know, you view this person, or it happens to be this person. He's not the smartest guy in the shed. Something, you know, that's wrong with him. Something actually that's wrong with the individual. Says the Rambam, as long as you are capable of actually totally letting go the way that the person harmed you and damaged you, if you can literally let it go, not like you're just telling yourself you let it go and inside you really have hatred to the person, but you're like, you know what, I'm totally mivat there, I'm totally capable of letting it go, I don't really care, it's not a big deal, I understand that this person is, you know, is dealing with their own things and that's why this happened, and I've been around, you know, great people who I've seen get, you know, embarrassed or get whatever, and I've seen them say, I really feel terrible about, you know, what's going on in this person's life. It must be that they have such a terrible thing going on in their life that they have to come and feel like they have to do this to me. And really, that's in general an important way of looking at life, that the person that comes to wrong you usually is either looking for attention, looking for something, they don't know any better, or they do know better, and they're making a mistake. But there's an opportunity really to show love and to show care in that situation, which, by the way, is admonishment. Admonishing the person the correct way is but through a way of love and care and saying, listen, you wronged me, you messed up. And that's if you can't swallow it, but it's a midas chasidus. It's a pious thing to do, to be able to live up to say, I'm gonna let it go entirely and not care about this at all. As long as there's no hatred inside your heart, then that's fine. But what's the most important, and I'm just, you know, cautioning this, and the Rambam doesn't write this, but you know, he cautions a little bit. I'm going to caution that you shouldn't trick yourself. The Rambam's above, you got to say what's true. If in your own heart you're feeling, you know, harboring feelings of real hatred, or you're really hurt by an individual, simply telling yourself, oh, I mean, chasidus, it's important, and you're convincing yourself that you don't hate this person, but in truth, you actually do internally. So then you have to be very careful. You don't want to end up in a situation where you're pretending, you know, or you're telling yourself it's gone, and then it comes out in a much uglier form later on. So that's why, again, it's an issur to have any hatred in the heart. So as long as you could really accomplish getting rid of that hatred, then you could accomplish this without having to do the halacha. Halacha, yud. We're talking about all the different categories, different people that we have to care for, make sure not to hate, Jews in general, and then converts as well. There's a whole other category here that I'm just going to focus on in this last halacha, and that is Yisomim v'almanos. We're talking about widows and orphans. You have to be very, very careful with widows and orphans. If nation, nafshan shefalam od, verucham numucha, afal pisha hein ba'alei mamu. Even if they're very wealthy, they're sad and they're depressed, because ultimately it's not about the money that they care about. And, you know, while they may be nervous about who's going to care for them and the like, but if they're the widow and orphans, they're just sad about the situation, and it's a different place for them. And so therefore, if even alman also shall melech yisom of muzharan anu alei and shneimar kol alman naviyasom lo se'anun. Right, you shouldn't do anything to, right, don't mistreat a widow and an orphan, widow and orphan, including even the widow and orphan of the melech, of the king. I mean, we're talking about the queen and the princes. They got their lives totally set up for them. They got a whole malchus. Everything is going great for them. Even them, you have to be very, very careful about, make sure not to mistreat them. Why? Because again, they're still in a situation of depression in a serious way. How should one act with them? You should talk softly with them. You should give them lots of honor. Don't cause them pain with hard work or with harsh words. Before we talk about it, you should have everyone else have to make kamocha as your own money, right? You have to be careful with other people's money like your own money. That's how to make kamocha. You have to go above and beyond when it comes to widows and orphans. You have to be just more careful with their money than you are with your own money. Kol ha-machtimniton, o machison, o hichiv alahen, o radabahen, o iban monon, hareze over below tase, v'chol shikin ha-macha usam, o ha-machalkulon. Says the Rambam, if a person really does the wrong thing here, and they hurt or they anger or they oppress or they cause financial loss to a widow and orphan, it's usur. And especially if they beat them and hit them or if they curse them, that's even worse. Even though there's no malchus in that situation, again, another case where the Rambam is saying, even though there's no malchus, it doesn't imply, just because the onesh, is lesser, doesn't have a malchus, it may actually not be because the malchus, it's not enough to get malchus, maybe it's too much to get malchus. Malchus wouldn't be enough. And the Torah itself tells us what the onesh will be. Harei an ancho mifurish b'Torah, v'chara api, v'harakti al eschem b'charev. The Torah literally says, this is like sounds like it wouldn't exist in the Torah. The Torah says, if you get them upset, you get me upset by this, I'm going to get super upset and I'm going to kill this person. Bris karas lachen mishamar v'haya olam shekol zman shem tzaakim mechamas heim na'an en shne'emar ki im tzaok yitzak elay shamoa eshma tzakaso. Wow. The Rambam says, and towards the point of this pasuk, and again, sometimes we can pass by this, there is a bris karas, there is a tree that exists between their bone shalom, Misha Amr v'haya olam, their bone shalom, who was able to create the world by simply talking, and the whole world was created, that any time a widow or an orphan calls out and screams out to their bone shalom from difficulty, from being oppressed, then their bone shalom will answer and will listen. Shamot eshma tzakaso, I will hear them. What are we talking about? What are we talking about in all these cases where you cause them difficulty and you cause them suffering? That's if it's for your own self purposes. Whatever your you're a rabbi, you're trying to, not cause them pain, but you're trying to push them in a way to be able to learn Torah, etc., etc., and not just let them go off the derech, because that'd be terrible if, you're just like, oh, so sweet, and then ultimately they didn't learn anything. You have to teach them. So you have to be careful to be doing it correctly, as the Rambam was about to say. Fights their fights, basically. Says the Rebbeinu Shlom, I'm going to watch over them, but you also have to watch over them. If that means that you're going to teach them through a way that's going to be harsh for them, in certain circumstances, that's acceptable, that's allowed. If you're doing harshness to them, oppressing them for your own benefit, that's usur. And the Rebbeinu Shlom goes after you. If you're doing it to help them, okay, still, even in that situation, Torah tells us, be super careful not to treat them like all your other students, but to do it in a way with softness and care in a different way. Okay, and then the same thing if you're teaching them a craft so that they can learn how to get a parnasa, etc. Also, give them intensity, but do it in a way that would be extra nice than anyone else. Just in case you're wondering, it could be an orphan from losing a father or losing a mother. The imasai. How long are they called Yisom? How long are they called orphans in this situation? When they are orphans from that moment they lose a parent until they can support themselves entirely like adults. At that moment, then you don't have to worry about them. Then we don't call them, you still have to worry about them. You don't have to worry about them the same way, to treat them differently, etc. Once they can take care of themselves, so to speak, and they can actually take care of themselves the way that they can build them, that older people can take care of themselves, that's the moment when you no longer have to worry. But at any moment that they would have been able to been taken care of by the parent who is no longer with them, that's the time when you have to be extra, extra careful to take care of them and to look after them. Says the Rambam, and this is the 10 halachos, how you have to deal basically with other Jews around you. One thing is avoid the Rishayim and go after Tamei Chachamim. Another one, you have to love every Jew and love extra. A second halacha, love extra to a convert and make sure to love them. And don't hate another Jew in your heart. And if you're going to be upset at another Jew, say it and share it and then forgive them if they ask for forgiveness. And what happens if you see another Jew sinning? So you have to be careful. You have to care for them, and you have to give them admonishment again in a way that you can, in an appropriate way, again assuming that you know how to give them admonishment to get them back on the right path, because you care about another Jew the same way you care about yourself. That's part of Ahaturech Kamocha. And again, all of these are also walking in the Rosh Hashanah's ways as well. And you shouldn't embarrass another Jew as well. It's important to not embarrass another Jew. But if you possible, then you can actually forgive another Jew for wronging you, and then ultimately not have to give him a bracha. Great, do that. But that's only if it's true. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're still hating the person in your heart. That's usur. And then, on top of all of this, you have to be extra careful with widows and orphans to make sure to take care of them as well. We will continue with the next halacha tomorrow.